Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right, there are three of us here ready to do the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast, but one of them is a last-minute replacement. More on that in a second, but boys, hands in pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
The World Cup is a month away now, and we've got the warm-up games to talk about. Wales against Ireland, we've got Argentina against South Africa, and a famous victory. Another upset. Well, you could argue an upset, maybe not so much. But Australia Rugby Championship winners, a Sale all-time best team, and the World Cup A to Z continues. But, as I mentioned, the Egg Chasers trio is a bit different than normal. I'm Tim, I'm still here. Phil's still here. You all right, Phil?
Hi, Tim. Yes, very good, thank you.
But, as I look across, I see Brino. friend of the podcast, and you've been on many times before, but you're here in place of JB.
Now, yeah.
I feel cruel laughing, but right, I tell you what, before we hear about the reason why JB's not here, let's quickly have a little look round the game this week. Northampton smash up a pub.
Yeah, they were accused by no charges have been brought, but they were accused of being basically rude, obnoxious, and smashing glasses in a Northampton pub on a bit of a, what sounds like a bit of a team building night.
I don't personally believe it.
I find it hard to... You can't read too much into that, though. That could be massively blown out of proportion.
That could be one old deer on a Sunday afternoon, yeah, who just took offence to a bunch of loud
smashed,
lads.
Yeah,
one glass gets dropped.
Necking a couple of pints. Every rugby club, if you followed them, you know, blown out of all proportion.
Yeah, and let's flip that on his head. When they won the Premiership, they drove back from Twickenham. Rather than go out on a bender themselves, they drove back to the clubhouse to spend it with the fans. So they've got a good sense of community,
yeah,
in Northampton.
Benefit of the doubt, absolutely.
Yeah, agreed.
For sure. Right, Bryn, because I know that Phil knows the answer to this. Guess who Sale Sharks' second fittest person is in the pre-season fitness test?
So who's the first?
We don't actually know the
we
first.
We don't know the
but
first.
The second,
second fittest?
Yeah. I'll give you a clue. It's a bit more. It's more surprising. That's why it's a second.
Not Sam Tuitupu. I can't even say his name.
Sam Tuitupu.
Tuitupu. Oh,
definitely not Avery Lewis Roberts.
Definitely not. Wasn't Aves.
I'm not. I have no idea.
Peter Stringer, 37 years old, and the second fittest in the Sale squad.
They always used to talk about it, fit he was,
meticulous.
And how much time he spent into it. But to be 37 and still, doing that.
Fair play.
Yeah, very impressive.
So that's why he's had the longevity of a career, you know.
Yeah, looking after himself. I mean, he probably is, three stone lighter than the next lightest player, but still, it is impressive.
And, there's Stade Francais have launched their kits, eclectic as ever, artistic as ever, in various shades of pink, made by Asics. What do you make of that?
I quite like them. Yeah, they're certainly bold.
I kind of like the two change kits more than I like the actual first team kit with the lightning pink lightning bolts down it.
The white one with the Roman statue.
Roman statue god type things, yeah.
It's, JB it's, will love it, won't
it's
he?
He will.
It's exactly what it should be, because Stade Francais' kit has to be like that. Bright pink, in your face, loud. So it's good. I like them.
And completely the other end of the spectrum from that, Adidas have released a line of limited edition all-black boots, and all-black for two reasons. One, because they're exclusive to all-black players, and secondly, because they're all-black.
Well, they're exclusive to all-black players and anyone willing to shell out £140 to strut around at your local rugby club with them.
They're like a matte black, aren't they? They're like not shiny. They do look amazing, don't they?
And there's like four different types of them as well, isn't there? For the different positions, there's like type five, back row. Yeah, half
I'd love
the
pair of them
backs.
I couldn't just
140 quid.
I'd rather just get a black permanent marker and just colour in my own boots.
Get a pair of old Predators and put black on the Adidas stripes.
Right, well, we've got loads to talk about on this podcast, but like we've mentioned, JB is not here, so what is going on there? Well, come on, you boys were there last night, so you were at a wedding.
Yeah, we were. We were over in Sheffield, Sheffield and then Derbyshire. For a wedding, friend of ours' wedding.
Yeah.
Me, Bryn and JB were all there.
Fantastic evening and then.
Really good day all round. Yep. A few beers were drunk. Yeah. But it was out in the countryside in like a country manor. And there happened to be a treehouse, a rope swing, a zip line. and JB, after a couple of beers, decided it would be a good idea for him to go on the zip line.
Yeah, it was late on in the evening as well.
It was quite late.
He came up to me and said, come on, we're going on the zip line. And I, even in my state, thought that doesn't sound like a good idea. I was thinking, I don't want to have to buy a new suit on for the next wedding I go to. So decided against it. JB didn't, went on it. And I'm sure he'll explain what happened.
Oh, wow. Let's call him as well.
Hello, you're through to the personal bedside telephone number of a patient at the Stepping Hill Hospital. Please remember, whilst they are in hospital, they may be with medical staff. Thank you for listening. We're connecting your call now.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
JB.
How are we all?
What the heck, Jay, I feel like I need to play some music in the background. And the only other time I've seen people having accidents on rope swings is on You've Been Framed, so carry on.
Yeah, I kid you not, it was absolutely terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. So has Phil informed you of my antics of last night?
Well, Bryn and Phil explained what you did. Bryn explained that he swerved it and went, there's no way I'm doing that, and that you went for it. So tell us about the incident that happened.
Yeah, so we get to this place in Bakewell. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful place. I won't name the place because it's not fair on the owner, who explicitly said to everyone, the rope swing is not safe, do not use it.
didn't you say it was padlocked up as well?
It was padlocked up. So, myself and a couple of intrepid explorers got there about 11 o'clock, and after 10 minutes of trying to undo the padlock, we actually managed to get the padlock undone. And I set off down this rope swing. It's not rope swing, sorry, zip wire. Now, the problem being, when it's pitch black, you don't know when a zip wire is going to finish, do you? So, when it finally hit the buffers, and this is when it got bad. When it finally hit the buffers, I had no idea. So I was flung, I believe I was flung about 12 foot in the air, and I hit a tree. And on the way down, I've impaled myself just above my buttocks, below the spine, somehow, and I was stuck on a branch for about 5 seconds whilst I wiggled my way off.
Oh my god!
Ow.
And I was kind of caught, kind of on a branch, it was caught by my belt. And when I did wiggle off, I had to fall a further 6 foot. So yeah, not too good at all.
So Jay, you've just had an operation a couple of hours ago, haven't you?
Yeah, I've literally just come off operating about. Maybe about an hour and a half ago.
General, was it?
Yeah.
General, yeah.
Does it feel like when you come... I've never come round from general, but people tell me it's like the best sleep they've ever had.
Yeah, I was really nervous about that, actually. It was fine. I mean, obviously, my first thought went immediately to the podcast. about getting on air. So, yeah, it's quite peculiar indeed.
Yeah, but you're all okay after your exploratory ass investigation that they've just done.
I think on the balance of things, this is actually the best possible outcome which could ever have happened. So, I got off very lucky, is how I feel.
I imagine you were in your head, you were channeling your inner Andy Powell before you set off? What would Andy Powell do, is what you asked.
And Andy Powell would have gone through that tree.
So, oh, yeah. Wow.
Well, we're all glad you made it, mate. It could have been a lot worse.
It sounds like it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, if I had hit the tree front on, I think it would be some serious internal damage. And if it was a little bit higher up, it would almost certainly been spinal cord damage. And either side, it'd have been straight into the kidneys. So I am incredibly lucky. But, you know, that's just how it is.
You're a lucky guy, Jay.
Impaled yourself on a tree.
It's a good job you've got a big old rump to take that impaling.
Plenty of glutes to absorb.
Good job you've had that Jeff Parling outfit to go and do your squats in.
Yeah.
Get that rump nice and strong.
You won't be squatting for a while now.
God, no.
I honestly thought when I was impaled on the branch, 6 foot up in the air, I've got to get down before my teammates find out because I look absolutely ridiculous.
Did you shout back up, "Don't bother coming down"?
I'm fine.
Jeez, Jay.
Very good.
Oh, man. I almost feel stupid talking about rugby, but it is the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast after all, so...
Let's talk rugby.
Yeah, well, come on then, because you might get dragged off or get... You might have a nurse or someone come in and want to fiddle with your buttocks again, so...
No, I've been very explicit that for the next 40 minutes or so, I'll be doing nothing but the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast.
Oh, wow! This is amazing. Well, where do you want to start then, Jay?
Why don't we start with... Wales Island.
All right.
Ooh, you really want to start there, Jay?
Let's get out of the way with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because on last week's podcast, you know, you've been saying "hear me now, believe me later" on Twitter a lot, but one of the things you said was Wales are going to top the pool in the World Cup. And yeah. I don't know, it's hard to know what to read into that performance by Wales because they weren't a full-strength side, but then this is a squad kind of thing, isn't it?
Well, neither of them were full-strength sides. No. They were both the equivalent sides. And while you can't read into it, because if Wales played Ireland in the World Cup, it would be two completely different teams, I do think it has a bearing because it shows you, one, if a few players get injured, these boys will be playing, and it shows that Ireland's replacements are more capable. But it also shows the depth, because some of those Ireland players, like Andrew Trimble, that was his first game in a year,
Yeah,
really stepped
absolutely.
Up. That tackle
wow.
On Eli Walker.
Not just the physicality of it, but the timing and knowing when to do that that led to the Keith Ellis try.
It wasn't
brilliant.
The best pass from Hook, though. It came with sirens, that bastard. In all fairness,
yeah.
The one thing I would say, I don't think we've learned a whole lot. I think we'll know better when they play each other on the 29th of August. We already knew Wales... Outside the, you know, top, the first 15, the first year's 15, they haven't got the strength and depth.
In a couple of positions they do. I think the second row they do. I think Tipperick is an excellent replacement.
Yeah, absolutely. In certain positions they have got the strength and depth. But what really worried me was the front row. So if you look at that front row, they picked Nicky Smith, who's got a reputation as a bit of a scrummager. I was looking forward to seeing him play against Mike Ross. Hibbard is a Lions. Test Lion. He's going to be going to the World Cup. And then Aaron Jarvis is potentially going to be backing up either Thomas Francis, Samson Lee, or he could be starting. We don't know where either Thomas Francis is at or Samson Lee. It's really worrying. If Wales get an injury in the front row...
It's now even more worrying because Australia's scrum was superb against New Zealand. And that was one of the things that you'd say, right, even if Wales are going to be beaten outside by the Australian backline, their scrum should be dominant and be able to get territory and field position. Now, maybe not so much.
Am I right, Jay, you thought Wales might win? And I said it'd be close, but I thought Ireland will pull through just for their probably more experience.
Yeah.
But the worrying thing for me was the defence. I expected Wales' defence and physicality to be right up there. I didn't expect them to be very slick. A real good defence and everyone just to be going flat out. They leaked 35 points at home.
Those first two tries, there wasn't a hand laid on Darren Cave or Jamie Heaslip.
It couldn't be more different from that last 9 minutes or whatever of that
Ireland game,
of the Ireland game in the Millennium.
Absolutely.
March.
From what I understand, the Welsh team have only just started involving ball work now.
Yeah.
So we've basically got a bunch of backups who have trained together but not played together.
Yeah.
But the defence, I mean, that's where we pride ourselves. And if we've done all this physical conditioning, half a defence is just work rate and attitude anyway.
Mm. Exactly.
That was a real disappointing part.
Who do you think came out of the game with any credit, though?
Tipperick.
Yeah.
Tipperick, obviously. Jake Ball is industrious, but I don't think Day is an international class second row.
No,
by a long stretch.
I'd agree with that.
But at least we know now.
There's a lot of chat in the papers today that we might have seen the last of James Hook and Mike Phillips, which it's quite sad if that's the case, but you know Gatland's not afraid to make big calls.
I think he'd be more than happy to get rid of Hook. I mean, he's kind of been doing that for God knows how long. I think he'll keep Mike Phillips, because he's stuck with Mike through, you know, all the disciplinary issues, all of going to France. Just ask Dwayne Peel. I mean, Dwayne Peel, I think, is the better technician of the two.
Yeah.
But just because he went to Sale...
But
no,
Mike Phillips is not the Mike Phillips of three, you know, even 2 years ago now. I think he's really in danger of getting left out of the squad.
He's second choice at Racing Metro.
Yeah.
He plays a bit part there, so...
He's not going to come off the bench and change things, I don't think, anymore. But the only thing I'll say for Mike Phillips is he does offer something different.
Well, I mean, he offers something different to almost everyone else. And from my point of view, how do you prepare for a Mike Phillips? I mean, it's not like you've got a spare 6'4" scrum half somewhere.
You get a good photographer and some lighting, and that's how you prepare for Mike Phillips.
He looks like he was never really pacey, but he just looks slow. I just wonder if it's, you know, one tournament too far for him, but we'll see. You know,
just on the James Hook front, like you say, he didn't cover himself in glory particularly. But isn't it interesting that he's got called up again from Gloucester, and yet we're also hearing this stuff about Talupe Faletau?
Yeah.
Will not be considered for Wales if he goes to Bath. That's just a bit peculiar. That.
Yeah, and Matthew Morgan played. Yeah. But he's in Bristol.
Yeah. In Championship, yeah.
In Championship, yeah. But Ian Evans wasn't considered.
Just a bit of. Is it just Gatland's games?
Yeah, I think so. It's 100% what it is. Gatland
wants to keep him, so he wants access.
Yeah.
But if Faletau did actually move to Bath, I'm pretty certain he would still get picked because he's far and away the best eight in Wales.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's no way Talupe Faletau is going to be the player he could be at Newport Gwent Dragons as opposed to going to, say, Bath. I just can't see any downside to Wales. They can still get hold of him. The contract stuff's a bit tricky, but he's going to be a better player for playing next to, you know, George Ford and everyone else.
I do think Premier Rugby has been a bit short-sighted. They want the best players, so they should be able to release him. Particularly if Bath are willing to do it.
Yeah.
Why should they prevent Bath from doing it?
Yeah, especially with the top 14 just over the pond, you know.
The other option they were talking about was having him on a loan deal. So he's contracted to Dragons, but Bath loan him.
Oh, really?
Which is something you never
so
see in rugby.
So he'd be outside of the
Premiership. His contract would be with Gwent Dragons, so he would be released in the window.
There, that is
quite interesting. Right guy, isn't he?
So the money's on him being a Bath player then?
Well,
you'd have to say.
It's now... It's
as a Welsh
still
fan,
up in
though,
the air.
I prefer him to stay at the Dragons because it just means he gets access to all the training camps. He picks and chooses his games and he's going to be fresh and ready to go for Wales. And that's, at the end of the day, what you need.
But the Dragons will not be playing any European semi-finals, quarter-finals, any Premiership finals like Bath will be. He'll be getting
that
big game experience.
From a personal point of view, for his career aspirations, he wants to be having an illustrious international and club career. However, his pedigree is undoubted, so we know he's going to turn up and play in the big games. He's good enough.
But if he was going to join another club, I think Bath's quite a good one in that sense.
Absolutely.
In that sense, because yes, as Phil says, he's going to play big, tense games that will, you know, test him. But secondly, they've got a massive squad.
Yeah, and he'll get rotated.
Can get rotated.
Absolutely.
Racing Metro, players who play in the top 14, they eke out every penny. They're paying big bucks, but they get every penny's worth out of those players.
Do you think rugby's going a little bit the way... I know cricket's quite current because of what's happened with the Ashes, where there's a lot of good cricket players who hardly ever play for the counties.
Yeah.
And it's going a little bit like that, where the internationals game is so dominant, especially in Wales.
The top teams play 14, 15 international games a year. You have a week off before each one of those from your club games. They do miss quite a lot. You'll end up playing as much for your club as you will do for your country.
I'll tell you what, I'll move it back onto the what happened on the pitch yesterday. I'm just going to play this from Game of Thrones again.
Shame.
What do you think? Have a guess what you think I'm playing this for.
Right. Oh, yeah.
What?
The kit.
Wales' kit. Oh. Shame. Wales'
I could
kit.
Not agree more. Shame.
Yeah, I sadly agree as
We've
well.
We've got two Welshmen both not approving of the kit.
We're big advocates of the England kit after going to the launch. I'd just like to remind you of that one.
Did they just add the stripes for the sake
of it?
Yeah,
the shoulders.
Gold piping. I'm not feeling that at all.
Why? Well, we've not even won a World Cup. It's not like gold piping in honour of the cup that we once won. It's just a complete and utter waste of time.
Couldn't agree more.
I like the picture that we've been sent of the Futurama captain. Have you seen it on Twitter?
What's his name?
Zap Brannigan or something.
That's it, Zap Brannigan.
Bill's just got it up on the laptop, that is. That's a great spot.
It's almost identical. Whoever spotted that and first tweeted it, well done. Yeah. Well done to you, because it is superb.
Oh, amazing.
But Wales's kits have just... I can't remember the last really good Welsh kit.
We've had some
shockers.
Absolute stinkers. And do you know what? The most devastating kits in my living memory was when Wales decided to put Rockport.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
They've not had the best sponsors. Like,
yeah,
Brains were a good sponsor, though. That made sense.
Yeah, Brains were, but Admiral is a big old logo, isn't it? It's tough to make the shirt look slick.
Thing is, right...
the last World Cup kit was nice.
It was all right.
Yeah, all right, you're probably right.
It's relative to this monstrosity that you've got at the moment, it was good. Yeah. But listen, it's like that theory of relativity, you know. You have to have something, it's like the yin and the yang. You have to have something bad to have something good. And on the same day, you had Wales' kit on one rugby pitch, and you had...
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Argentina's. On another rugby pitch.
I love that kit. I've been trying to find out where you can buy it from. It doesn't seem to be commercially available.
Because it was like a centenary one-off?
50 years.
50 years.
Since the first Argentina team toured South Africa. And the 1965 team were actually in the ground to watch the victory, which was superb.
Were they?
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm not saying correlation is causation, but they wear that beautiful kit. And then they win away in South Africa for the first time ever.
I know. I hear you.
Do the maths.
Yeah.
Do the maths.
I hear you.
That kit is... Oh, I'm just looking at the pictures now.
What's wrong with collars? There seems to be an aversion to collars in rugby now.
Yeah.
But that's just showing just how good it can look.
A collar doesn't strike me as a naturally high-performance piece of kit.
No, you're right.
It does look good.
It does look good.
Yeah.
There's no denying that.
And how well did they play Argentina?
Oh, I know.
What a place to go and get your first away win.
I know.
The manner as well, the manner of the victory. So they were dominant up front at the breakdown and then out wide, played expansive, good, open running rugby. Imhoff, who scored a hat-trick, and then the Bosch try after 1 minute. And it was just, they took their chances. Their execution was superb. It was outstanding.
Absolutely.
I really didn't predict it, but it's superb.
It's like watching the football pre-season and then watching how the teams actually play. It doesn't bear a great relationship. I don't know if this... We could end up kidding ourselves or whether you actually go, no, Argentina are a real big banana skin for someone at the World
Absolutely.
Cup.
Absolutely.
Oh, they have to be. They have to be.
I read today as well that the coach has changed the squad a little bit, so they're picking like players who are native to Argentina playing there. And gone away from picking all the European-based players.
Well,
the results speak for itself, doesn't it? I mean,
wow, I didn't realize that.
No, I didn't. In fairness, until I read it.
But they're getting a Super Rugby franchise in
not before time.
I think it's not next season. The season after
2016
next season. And they've said
that team could be a monster. The whole population of Argentina, if it takes off behind that one team, that could be a real, real proposition.
Yeah,
but they've also said that. They want that team to basically, the Argentinian national team to be picked basically from that team.
Which makes sense.
They're going to be, effectively their national team will be playing together 30 games a season.
Yeah, that's
which will be, it'll be a hell of a match for anyone else.
Yeah. Wow.
imagine how coherent their forward pack could be, because they're already beasts, aren't they?
Now, they're in the same pool as New Zealand.
Yep.
The others are Tonga, Georgia, Namibia. So you would assume that they will be getting out of the group stage.
Yeah.
And then they will play France or Ireland, depending who tops which group.
Yeah.
And I think they're pretty well matched up for France.
Yes, I'd go with that.
Can't discard Tonga, though. They did well in 2011. I know they're not the strongest.
They beat France in 2011, but I still think Argentina...
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think they might top that group the way France are at the moment.
Yeah. Now, you know me, guys. I don't like talking about myself too much, but... I did say at the start of the tournament, I made three sorts of predictions, and I do have one wrong, because I said... The biggest winners of the Rugby Championship will be Australia, because they'll tinker around and finally they will get the team that they want. I think that's roughly where we are.
Yeah.
I said that the All Blacks would come unstuck. That's fine. But I did get it wrong, because I thought the attritional nature of the Championship would actually wear down Argentina. I actually think it hasn't worn down Argentina. It's South Africa, which will be the biggest losers.
Three defeats.
Yeah. Not just that.
And they're missing some key personnel. Yeah. Matt Field's out injured. Yanni Duplessis is injured. Jean de Villiers, who came back to captain them, has broke his jaw.
Yeah.
The World Cup starts in 5 weeks, and he is out for up to six weeks with a broken jaw.
And he's the one player who needed match fitness, didn't he? He needed to be training, because he's obviously just up and running again with his knee after his knee injury. So.
But it might actually be a good thing, because it will just cement Creel and D'Alandi as their starting centres. It might allow them to focus more around that.
In the way that... You know, Jonathan Joseph probably wouldn't even be in the England squad now, were it not for the fact that there were so many injuries.
Exactly. So there's positives and negatives. Tight head is a bit of a concern for them at the moment, particularly after being beaten up by that Argentinian scrum.
We'll find out with South Africa. They should have beaten the All Blacks, I think. They should have beaten Australia. And they've come and stuck against Argentina. I don't know whether that's going to be an outlier or whether Argentina are just coming in some form.
But South Africa, they almost don't need any warm-up games, because their pool is warm-up games.
Yeah.
Samoa, Japan, Scotland, USA.
Every time I hear the names in that group and then think to the England, Wales, Australia, Fiji group,
Fiji just won the Pacific Nations Cup.
As a Welshman, I'm worried about this now.
I know. Listen, I'm going to change the tack slightly. We've still got our World Cup A to Z to talk about. We've still got the Sale all-time best team to talk about, but... I'm going to put some kind of serious sounding music on, because we need to get to the bottom of this. What has Billy 12 Trees got on Stuart Lancaster?
It's a good question.
I don't know. Did Stuart Lancaster sleep with Billy 12 Trees' missus? And this is just payback. What happened here? Because... I mean, last week we debated the call that was going to happen in the England squad, and Stuart Lancaster had mentioned before he was going to call 9 players. It ended up being just 7.
Including three wingers.
Yeah.
I think Lancaster's mad. I think it's absolutely insane. I mean, he's so into the RFU coaching handbook of all these bits and pieces. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Billy 12 Trees is just there because he's really, really good for the atmosphere, or something equally as stupid.
Just good community work.
Yeah, great community work. Nice guy. Doesn't speed. Doesn't drink drive. Yeah, you can play international rugby.
it is quite interesting. It shows from two sides. It's really good, really positive, because we expected a hooker and a second row to be cut.
Yeah,
and it shows that there's just too much depth. There's too much strength in that team in both positions.
To make that call at this stage, yeah.
Yeah, so they want to see all of them having some actual game time rather than cutting someone now. So it's good for competition.
I think they've got very consistent strength, but I don't think it's top-end strength, if that makes sense. I don't think England have got a standout hooker right now.
Yeah, if you were averaging the ability of a squad, England would be right up there, but you're talking about first 15.
Yeah, so they've still got a cut 8, is it? Still to go.
They cut 7 from 45, so they're
so 38.
So there's seven more to cut.
Which ones did we get right and which ones did we get wrong?
Well, it wasn't about getting it right and wrong, because remember, we weren't guessing what Stuart Lancaster would pick, we were saying what we would pick. But the ones that Stuart Lancaster agreed with us on were Rocco Degouni,
Yard,
Marlon Yard,
Kvesic,
and Dixon. He got rid of Kvesic, got rid of Dixon, got rid of Yard, got rid of Rocco Degouni, he got rid of, and then he got rid of Ashton, who we kept in for the time being in our squad. He ignored us on that one. We got rid of Billy 12 Trees, who he kept, and we kept Kyle Eastmond, who he's decided to let go. And
which is such a stupid decision.
It does seem silly, doesn't it?
The form 12 in the Premiership. Who can do things...
Game changer as well.
He can do things with both his hands and his feet. like passing and kick, passing and running that no other centre in the world can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's kept Burgess, who...
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Who is not a 12 or a 13. He's a 6.
It's only the Eastman one that I think is an odd decision, because I think the other ones you could argue.
Yeah.
Go, and in fairness to Lancaster, if his intention is to cut three wingers, he may as well do it now if he's happy. Whereas if he's happy that those three are the ones that are going, he may as well make that decision now.
Yeah.
And if Luke Cowan-Dickie and, you know, Jamie
Sorry,
George...
Sorry, you're on the podcast now. You need to refer to him as Mullet-Dickie.
Yeah, Mullet-Dickie. So if he's not sure, take the extra time until he's made up his mind, absolutely. If I was an England fan, Eastman would be the one I'd be disappointed about, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. And not only that, as a Bath fan, if you are a Bath fan, I'm obviously not a Bath fan, but if I was one, this worries me, because the big draw for Kyle Eastman of being in Union was, of course, in the international rugby. And I read today that there is rumours of him joining Warrington, and I'd be devastated to see that.
I would as well. I would for the Premiership.
And,
I would be.
Yeah, and I put it squarely at the feet of
Stuart Lancaster.
Unforgivable.
Well, he decided to keep Corbs. We recommended cutting Corbs and keeping Matt Mullen. That's purely on the strength of what we saw in the Premiership. Maybe Stuart Lancaster has seen something different during the training camp.
Yeah.
I assume he does, because I can't see a good reason for getting rid of Mullen. I think he's a very, very high-quality prop.
I mean, that's the third choice loosehead prop, and it may well be that Corbs will go anyway ahead of the World Cup.
Yeah, potentially. But we do also know that Mullen was apparently the fittest of the tight five, and Ashton was the fittest in the squad. So he's got rid of two of the guys that topped the fitness tests. So what? And it must have been the skills side, or
I don't know. He's come out and said about Ashton, it's his defence. His work rate under the high ball, he's just not happy with. So
that's what Phil called it last week.
Hear him now, believe him later. He did say the most impressive player in the entire training squad in the camps had been Johnny May.
He did.
Did you see?
You did mention that Johnny May. Did you see the picture I posted of Johnny May on Twitter? Doing there's clearly a crash mat in the try line area, and England were practicing doing a big dive one-handed try in the air.
Yeah, with Farrell.
I just assumed that he'd come off a zip line,
impaled himself on the corner flag.
Yeah.
If you look at the players England have cut there, though, it really brings it into focus how much strength and depth they've got in the front five versus Wales. The fact you could leave someone like Matt Mullen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, agreed. What we do for Matt Mullen now.
Oh.
Christ, he's a good player.
Yeah.
Seven more to cut. I think, for the most part, you can... he's delaying the inevitable. A second row is going to go. He's delaying the inevitable. A hooker's going to go. Possibly delaying the inevitable. That Callum Clark's also going to go. And maybe Corbs as well. I think most of the cuts in the backs might have been done. It's just maybe Sippers and one centre.
He's got a firm up, and I think a lot of that will depend on Henry Slade, whether he can use him as a utility or he has to have the centres and tens being specific.
Hear me now, believe me later, Callum Clark will not be going. I think Lancaster really rates him.
Really?
Will be going to the World Cup, won't be going out of the squad.
Who else can he drop from the back row? Because the rest are Robshaw, Vunipola, Morgan, who, assuming he's fit, will go.
Yeah.
Is the question over fitness is the only thing. I'm not sure who else he can drop.
Did you mention that Tom Croft is coming in for some fitness training?
Yes,
Nick Mullins tweeted it, that Croft, Simpson and Foden, because they've all been outside of the squad, they've been doing pre-season with their respective teams. Those three were reported as attending a fitness assessment.
Yeah. That must, well, and I can only think that must be for, you know, if there's an injury in the pecking order rather than breaking into the 31-man squad.
Yeah, because all three of those were excluded from the squad because of injuries towards the end of the season.
Croft will be fine. Stuart Lancaster should know this by now. When there's a big tournament or a Lions tour, he's ready.
World Cup, Lions tour, bring out Croft.
31st of August, they've got to release the squad.
The squad, right. So in between now and then, pre-season games, you can actually have a direct comparison where it's close and make those decisions.
I think you've got to give Lancaster a bit of credit because we say that he's, you know, one for very hard, fast rules, you know, and he sticks to his guns, but he's showing a little bit of flexibility there to bring three players in. Like Foden is a totally different fullback to Goode. He could offer something off the bench.
Yeah.
Croft, another one, off the bench.
Yeah.
We know how devastating he can be in open play.
It does strike me as strangely pragmatic.
I think it's interesting to understand.
Exploring his options, isn't it?
Yeah, let's not read into it any more than that.
No, I agree.
Let's read into it.
JB, I'm glad we got you on the phone, JB, because I was worried that you wouldn't be able to have any part in picking an all-time Sale team.
Well, it's pretty easy. I just read out the team from, 2005?
2005,
2006, they won the Premiership.
so it's probably the easiest one that there is.
So we're moving through the Premiership and picking the best team that have worn that shirt for that club in the professional era. So Sale Sharks then, JB.
All right then. So, loose head prop, relatively straightforward.
Sheridan?
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, weirdly, I don't think Sale have had that many good props. If you look through their list of props, outside of Sheridan, obviously was world class, I don't see any really good tight heads.
There you go, Lewis Roberts.
Tony Buckley.
He was massive, wasn't he?
Useless.
Strangely enough, if you did get a CV and you removed the name of Avian Lewis Roberts, and you had the thing, you know, he was there when they won the Premiership, I think, so he's got that on a CV. He's had a few years in Toulon, a Welsh cap. You'd probably think of signing that guy.
Yeah.
Until he shows up at training, you think, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Well, what you definitely wouldn't do is swap Avian Lewis Roberts for Andrew Sheridan.
No.
That is a transfer I would not be making.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm open to suggestions for tight head.
Lionel Farie, was he another loose head?
He was a loose head. He was a loose head as well. I think he was from the era when a lot of them could play both.
I think that looking at how that Karena Wahongi performed for when he left Sale under that cloud because of the drugs, he could have been if he'd been allowed to stick around.
Strange you mention that because I was thinking of him, but I thought he was a loose head too.
No, he's a tight end.
I didn't have a tight head, but Henry Thomas.
Yeah, again, he had a good season. I think Sale fans would kind of go, he's a good player, but...
If you're going to look at Henry Thomas, you've got to look at Kobolash too.
Yeah.
Let's just give it to Kobolash.
Unless, what was the bald chap who played there for years? Stuart Turner.
Oh, yeah.
Stuart Turner now owns a biltong farm, I think.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Was he the one that did the ear biting? No, that is Kevin Yates.
He'd be another
loose head chap.
Stuart Turner was there for a long time. I think he was there in the Premiership final when they won it. So.
Let's do that one then. Go on then, Hooker, Jay.
For me, in my mind, there was only one, but I've had a lot of people mentioning Steve Diamond, which is fine. Yeah. I think Sebastian Bruno is head and shoulders the best hooker that they've had.
Yeah. Yeah. Tits was there for a year or two
as
well.
I like Andy Titroff, he was a very good player.
I'd go Bruno.
In incredible shape.
He is in incredible shape. He was doing a pre-season coaching, some fitness stuff at Sedgley a few years ago, and said he can't do snatch properly because his biceps are too big.
Oh, God.
What a problem to have.
he was joking.
Come on, then, second rows. I mean, one of them's easy, right?
Yeah.
Lobbe.
Yeah, Ignacio.
Carlos Ignacio Fernandez Lobbe.
What a player. Yeah. And I've also fudged a bit because I think that I'd probably go with either Jason White.
That's what I'd do.
Or even Sebastian Chabal. Sebastian Chabal is too valuable at eight.
He's too iconic an eight as well. He did play second row for France in 2007 World Cup, didn't he?
So come on then. So we've got Jason White and Fernandez Lobby.
Yeah.
Which means his brother.
A power back row. So his brother is at six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Juan Martín.
What's his name? Have we just said?
Chabal.
Have we just said his name?
Chabal.
And the only player of the modern age to really make it would be Dan Braid.
Yeah.
Lund is a possibility. Because he was around.
He's not. 100% he's not.
The impact of Dan Braid in the last few seasons.
How long was Pat Sanderson there?
Oh, that's a great shout. So Pat Sanderson, when he was there, was the youngest ever Premiership captain.
Wow.
Really?
Does Gaskell not... He not sneak in the row?
Sale have had a lot of good clubs, haven't they?
Gaskell's a good shout in the row, actually.
Gaskell's a great shout. Right. And I'll tell you the other one as well who we've completely missed out is Chris Jones.
Yeah, he was a good player. He was a good player.
He sort of sullied his own reputation by being...
Pete Anglesey was a solid Premiership. Yeah. Stalwart for Sale. I bet a lot of Sale fans might...
You pick your back row. So it's Braid, Fernandez Lobby and Chabal.
Oh, and we missed out Nick Rouse.
me and Bruno just pointed to Nick Rouse on the list of notable former Sale players.
Yeah,
yeah. He is superb.
I wouldn't put it past me selecting my own brother, but maybe you'll get in with the London Irish team.
Irish.
Right, so your back line then.
Okay, so scrum off is difficult, and a couple of Sale fans have actually put down Wigglesworth.
Yeah.
But Wigglesworth is fine, very good player. Do I think he's better than Dwayne Peel? Absolutely not. But, in my opinion, by far the best one, Brian Redpath.
Brian Redpath, brush.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's so good.
Done.
Comfortably.
He's in.
Sir Charlie.
Obviously.
I mean, it gets easy now, doesn't it? Your wingers, it's an absolute piece off. There's not even any competition.
Is it? Is it, though?
The back three picks itself.
Does it?
Hanley, Cueto, Robinson. Who else would get into that?
Let me tell you where I'm at here. Because you've missed one player who I thought was marvellous for them for many years. Rory Lamont, who I thought was magnificent. And I thought if I could move maybe Robinson to the wing or someone into centre. And the thing about Sale is they don't really have a long line of great 13s. Maybe Mark Taylor? Probably not. Maybe Graham Bond? Maybe not.
I wouldn't accommodate Rory Lamont.
No.
I would keep those back three.
Luke McCarthy
12, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had shouts for Josh Baxendale for 13, which I roundly laughed off.
Jim Mallander?
Matthew Tate, was he?
He wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, no. He didn't do anything.
Sale fans, help us out with the 13. Who should wear the 13 shirt? That's usually the only area we've got a bit of a struggle.
What about one of the two who's there at the moment? The Bash Brothers.
Andy Tuolangi?
Andy Tuolangi.
Perfect.
Liotta is a good player.
Yeah.
And then the fullback, surprisingly, no room for Foden, which I can live with.
He was so good for Sale back.
He hardly played for Sale though. Like he was always the reserve scrum half, and then they experimented a bit.
When Robinson moved on and he found himself in the team, he was just electrifying, wasn't he?
Yeah, but not for long.
They were constantly playing him at fullback, and he spat his dummy and said, "I'm going to Northampton."
He went to Northampton to play scrum half.
Yeah. And they said his first England cap was off the bench as a replacement scrum half. But he was playing his rugby as fullback.
Oh, I can't believe it's been this long into the podcast before.
Fact.
There we go.
Talking about Sale current players, how good do you think Josh Beaumont is going to be?
I genuinely think if he moved to a different team and started playing lock, he would be in contention for England.
He looks
genuinely
a real good player.
Yeah,
he's a lot better than he looks like he should be. He doesn't.
He breaks tackles when he looks like he shouldn't,
and he's a lot faster than he looks.
Yeah, absolutely. He doesn't look particularly athletic, but I think he might be a very good player.
Do you think the worst looking in terms of athletic secondary partnership would be Lude Jaeger and Josh Beaumont?
Yes. Launchbury's got to be in there as well.
Launchbury. But you said if he moves to lock, he might be in with a shot for England. He wouldn't be, because if we're just looking at the England locks as they are, that's a powerful group of men.
Very much so. And they're all reasonably young as well. None of them are...
Where is eight? Who's he got in front of him? Ben Morgan?
Ben Morgan, Billy Van der Pola, and Nathan Hughes as of next year.
Oh, my word, he's a good player.
That is...
I don't think he'll get in ahead of Ben Morgan and...
I think he will straight away. He'll get capped straight away, so we're peeing around him.
It's what a shame he's not playing for Fiji at the World Cup this year. Because he's not going to have a stellar career with England, no matter...
It does leave a bit of a sour taste in the mouth, doesn't it?
Yeah, he should be playing, he should be playing in the World Cup.
Yeah. If it was any other country than England, I would be annoyed. As it's England, it's slightly more palatable for me.
Yeah.
Which is hypocritical.
It's very hypocritical.
Right.
At one point, it looked like Ben Morgan was going to go play for Wales, didn't it?
Yeah.
When he was playing for the Scarlets. And
yeah.
He'd be such a good player.
Well, but both of them, billion...
After Saturday, the Vunipolas. I thought Dan Baker might be ready to step up, but he didn't have a great game.
Yeah.
And I think Ross Moriarty's the more likely one to make the squad. Yeah. Because Gatland's actually praised Ross Moriarty, and he didn't praise many players after Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, Stuart Lancaster praised Matt Mullen. And then dropped
him.
Ashton, and then dropped him. So we'll see on that one.
We've not touched on Bledisloe.
New Zealand.
Bledisloe.
Exactly that.
What a game.
What a game.
It was a cagey first half. Neither team felt like they really got going, partly because of the aggressive defence, and like Australia's defence all the way through. But partly, I think... they're just feeling each other out. And then in the second half, it was superb, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was.
Sensational.
Michael Checker said before the match that the Hoops and Pocock had forced him into that position with their performances off the bench and starting, that they kind of forced it. And there was an interview with the two of them, and they'd been saying how they'd been talking to each other privately about playing with each other together. And they just seemed like they had a bit of glee in their eyes, like they were really excited about just forming a bit of a partnership in the back row. And particularly in the first half, they just... were all over the breakdowns, weren't they?
Yeah.
They made devastating.
It made it so difficult for New Zealand to retain their own ball, just even slowing it down. And that allows their defence to get into position, which allows them to get the line speed.
That has to be the key to beating New Zealand as well.
Yeah.
Challenge them at the breakdown.
Slow them down.
And for the player he is, not even he can out-muscle the two of those boys together.
We wax lyrical week in, week out about the core skills in New Zealanders, myself included. But I have had a little suspicion throughout all this championship. They've got a bit of a weak underside. And I don't think that they competed particularly well in the scrum.
No. Nope.
When the prop went over, he went, what's his name? I can't say his name.
Kepu.
What's his first name?
Sakopi.
Sakopi Kepu, obviously. he just breezed through three tackles like they weren't even there.
And the Nick White.
I think there are some...
White's try was the same.
Yeah, well, I think New Zealand can beat you one way. I mean, they can beat you multiple ways, actually. But if you really take it to them, they do start to look a bit fragile.
Yeah, and more than that, Australia's driving maul was going right up the middle of New Zealand. Their scrum was dominant.
Well, that is based on that. Brumby's driving maul, which is ferocious.
Yeah, it is.
But it's unreal. And that's carrying, two smaller men in their back row. They still were dominant up front. And, it sent out a big message ahead of the World Cup.
Two smaller men, and they didn't have, what's his name? Will Skelton. Cameron Skelton's his younger brother. Will Skelton, who you lose 25 kg when he's not in the row, and their scrum was still dominant.
I tell you what, some that game up in one play was the hit on Julian Surveyor by Hooper.
Oh my God.
My word. I mean, he's a lot smaller. It's just his tenacity. And that runs through the whole Australian squad. They're going to be a tough, tough side come the World Cup.
It's really... the four of us, we all support the teams in the same group as Australia.
Yeah.
This is very, very worrying.
Yeah.
Because you win that group and you have an easy... You avoid South Africa and New Zealand until the end. You come second in that group... and you play South Africa, then New Zealand, assuming they win all their games. And if you don't, if you come third in the group, well, someone's losing their job.
My worry is...
correct.
As a Welshman, I'm really worried now. The way Australia are playing, England at Twickenham, they'll get out of that group.
They will.
The Twickenham factor will be huge.
Imagine how much the whole World Cup bubble and excitement is going to deflate in England if we do go out.
England will come out. They'll come out top of that group, and then Wales versus Australia.
Can't say because they are playing on a certain patch of grass somewhere. That's going to mean that they get out of the group. I don't believe it for a second. I think it's going to be Australia, it's going to be Wales.
But the statistics don't lie. Yeah. You look at home advantage in international rugby games, and it is big.
The only team that it's not been good for was France, but you can't read anything into France at World Cups because...
Yeah.
Just throw the rule book out, absolutely.
Do you know what's going to happen? We're going to pontificate about all this great rugby, and France are going to win the World Cup final by kicking three penalties.
Stranger things have happened.
Just one more point on the New Zealand-Australia game. Australia's kicking has been around 50% for the whole tournament. They've used a few different players.
They can't win a World Cup with that.
Nick Phipps, who started the game, didn't play particularly well.
No, his passing was awful.
Yeah, but Nick White, when he came on, he was superb, and he kicked. He's got 10 points in the last 10 minutes. So that solves that problem. And it's also, here's another fact for you. Since 2012... New Zealand have outscored their opponents in the last 10 minutes of games by 220 points to 70 in the last 10 minutes.
Wow.
Fact.
But in this game, Australia outscored them 10-0.
And they were so composed. They didn't panic at all.
I mean, knowing that New Zealand outscored their opponents by 3 points to one.
Yeah.
With 5 minutes left when Australia had already scored 10 points, I was expecting New Zealand to try frenzy, 30 points on the board.
That is what I thought. I thought they'll be under the post going, it's all right, we've been here before.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where, you know, World Cup wins count. But like you say, Australia just took it to another level. Interesting, like Nick Phipps, I thought it was like watching Billy Twelvetrees passing. It was one of Billy Twelvetrees' missed passes into touch.
It was like watching Mauro Bergamasco passing at one stage.
But no, they're going to be a force. They're going to be a force. In terms of this weekend, what do you think we're going to see? When does the team get announced for Stuart Lancaster? And what do you think we're going to see?
Well, the French squad has been named, as in the 25 who will travel, but not who's going to be playing where. So you'd not really learn anything. The team will be announced probably Wednesday, Thursday from Lancaster, and I would expect it to be similar to the Ireland Wales team.
Yeah.
The fringe players.
Yeah. So he can really focus on those, on the hard decisions he's got to make.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he wants to choose between Burrell and 12-3s, for example.
Yeah, he might put a couple of combinations together, mightn't he? Yeah. Might look at a couple of partnerships that he wants to see.
So if Burgess starts, if he plays, it is just such a farce. It's beyond comprehension. It is beyond comprehension.
When was the last time you played 12?
March time.
Well, he will never play 12 again for Bath ever.
Actually, I tell you what, he only actually started one game for 12 at Bath. He started six games at 13 and only one at 12.
Maybe that's why he's still in. Who knows? But do you know what? If there's one guy who you sort of think can take the pressure and who knows, maybe even deliver on it, it'd probably be Sam Burgess. Everyone talks about him having an aura. Like people like Lawrence Dallaglio have come away from meeting him and said, I don't know what it is, but there's just something a bit special about him.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. He's 6'4" and he's a mutant. That is his aura. In terms of playing centres, they are obsessed by thinking, if we wish and believe hard enough that he can turn into Tuilagi. He might turn into Tuilagi. He won't.
No.
Just the fact that they're keeping him around, and they're even mentioning him in the same breath as Tuilagi, it's stupid.
Well, I hope as an Englishman that I'm playing that a clip of this back on the after a World Cup final victory.
If England win the World Cup, you're going to have to put a lot of GB back to. You can just do a pod. The demise of GB, it'll be.
Right, one final thing then. We'll rattle through this quickly then. We're continuing. We've forgotten to do it last week again, the World Cup A to Z. So we've got up to the letters STU. So what would you suggest? I've got a few suggestions for S.
Okay.
One, there's a few that I'll just throw away that probably won't get picked. Shirley Bassey doing the opening ceremony World Cup World in Union song with Bryn Terfel. There's the South African Airways. Do you remember before the final against New Zealand in South Africa when they flew the plane right over the stadium just before kickoff?
You can't have that. You can't have that because you wouldn't allow Qantas in. You're not having South Africa Airlines.
Okay, fine. Sebastian Chabal's already got a mention before. Serge Blanco, Andrew Sheridan, the way he demolished abolished the Australian scrum.
Yeah, in 2007. Yeah.
Stephen,
that was awesome.
Stephen Donald getting sneaking into the World Cup team and kicking the winning points for New Zealand. So I don't know if there's another suggestion you got off there.
We had South Africa before, Springboks, South Africa. But
what about the Stephen Donald story? Because it's such a rare, unique World Cup story, isn't it?
I love that story.
I love it.
What was he doing when he got the call?
White bait fishing.
And
when Henry called him to ask him to come in, he said, make sure you bring some white bait for the boys.
Amazing.
Why didn't Graham Henry put in the call to Nick Evans? Looking back at it, surely that would be his better option, no?
Yeah, at the time, he was the second best 10 in the world.
Yeah.
But where was he? You know, he was in
Harlequins, England. Yeah.
He was, the Harlequins.
That was it. Letter T, then. Tim Horan?
Thierry du Sautoir?
Thierry du Sautoir. Oh, ooh, wow, for that match.
Yeah.
And for captaining the least coached side in the world.
Captaining slash coaching slash managing.
Player manager.
Yeah.
To the World Cup final in 2011.
I've written Tonga down.
I remember when they did the hair dye thing in 2007. That was good as well.
Yeah.
On the least coached side in the world, it says a lot about the French players and exactly how good they were. Because can you imagine what would happen to the Welsh team without Gatland? I'm not even convinced 15 players would shut up on time.
It'd be a hell of a party, though.
I think there'd be quite a few of them impaled on trees around Wales somewhere.
In the lead-up to the 2007 World Cup, apparently, they went to Australia, didn't they? And that was just a boozy tour with Gareth Jenkins. When they got there, apparently Gareth Jenkins just told them to go off for 48 hours. We don't want to see you for 48 hours. Just go and enjoy yourselves.
Team building.
Yeah.
Inverted commas.
Wow.
Tell me the story about Gavin Henson going away for 48 hours and showing up in a suit?
Yeah, so he turned up, apparently. They were doing, after the game, they went out. And I think they drew with Australia, and they went out and... the next morning, apparently, they had pool recovery, and the pool was on the top of the hotel. And Gavin Henson turned up. It say pool recovery is like 1 o'clock. He turned up at like a minute to one. And the fitness conditioner said, you know, we've got pool recovery now. It starts in a minute. And Gavin Henson just jumped. He was in his suit from the night before, just jumped in the pool and did his pool recovery in his full suit. Apparently, it was just absolute carnage. What a boy.
What a boy. The only other letter T that we could have is TMO, that whole Cueto try.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if a TMO has been used in many other World Cups.
I can't remember. That was so... I remember at the time I was drinking a pint of Guinness, and when I thought he scored in the corner, I threw both hands up in the air, one of which was holding a pint of Guinness, and a full pint of Guinness landed on... A chap next to me was wearing a brand new white shirt.
That was a good World Cup 07, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Because all the games were the right time.
Great games,
All the games were... It's France. They were, evening games.
Was it Matthew Tate that made that break for that?
Yeah, Matthew Tate. Matthew Tate, I think, came off the bench
really
in the final.
Well to get to the 2007 World Cup final, in fairness.
Yeah. Considering they lost a group game.
Yeah.
To South Africa.
JB's been cut off.
Oh.
JB's been cut off, never mind. We'll finish the podcast with that. And we'll go Thierry du Sautoir then.
For that
performance. And then the letter U then.
Hmm.
I had Uruguay because it just came into my head. I know they played in 99 in Wales, but.
Uruguay. Yeah. That sounds good to me.
In. Well done.
Someone must have something better than that.
Good. Yeah. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, that's where you can get in touch with us. Right, so I'm going to say we'll wrap it up and then.
Yeah.
We've lost JB. We must have. Got a cut off. Either we've used up his credit on his hospital phone, or I don't know, or maybe a nurse has come.
Good dedication to the pod, though. Fair play. Yeah. I saw him an hour ago, and he looked groggy.
I spoke to him 10 minutes before the pod, and I was like, "This is not going to go ahead. Yeah. He'll be asleep in 10 minutes."
He is a coper, though. Fair play.
Yeah, he is a professional podcaster.
Yeah.
It's like a movie scene, like impaled on a tree, and I've got to get myself off, but it means falling 6 feet onto my head. It's just unreal.
Once we knew he was okay, we did laugh at him.
God. Right, well, anyway, we'll JB's recovery will continue on next week's podcast. Bryn, thanks for stepping into the breach.
More than welcome. Thanks for having me, guys. Thank
nice one,
much.
Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
See you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.